Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter. It's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And as I do every week, I'll remind you again that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Whenever you write, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Before we get to our Bible study today, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we come back again to the book of Revelation. Lord, we come back again to the letters to the seven churches. And Father, we're looking at the overcomers and the promises made, the tremendous, marvelous promises made to the overcomers. We who know Christ as Savior, true believers. So Father, I pray that today's message would be a real encouragement to all of us. Lord, that you would use it in your power today. Maybe there's somebody listening and they don't know Christ, or they don't know him as Savior, and so they can't claim these promises. And I pray that today that they would see what they're missing, that they would see the need to come to Jesus Christ. So Lord, we commit this to you, and we pray it all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery, and I trust you have a Bible before you, and if you do, I'm going to have you open up to the book of Revelation, if you would. Revelation chapter 2, we'll start in that chapter here in just a little bit. 2:7 is where we'll be. We're going to do a little bit of a review, but let me go back. Last week in our study of the book of Revelation, we started to look at the promises to the overcomers, which are found in each of the letters written to the seven churches. First of all, we started by defining the overcomer. Who is the overcomer? Because they're mentioned in every one of these letters. And so we stopped and we thought about the fact that John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelation. And if we go back to one of his other writings, which is 1 John, we go to chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, he defines the overcomer for us. In verse 4, he says, "Whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world?" In other words, who is he? Who is the overcomer? And then he defines him. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So the overcomer is a true believer, is exactly who the overcomer is. So these promises are to the believers, those that know Christ as Savior. Now, the promises that we looked at last week, the first one was that we have eternal life. In 2:7, it says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." We have eternal life. We'll eat of that tree of life, and in that eternal state, we'll be able to partake of that, which means this, that we will never die. John chapter 10, 27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So we looked at the fact that that promise refers to the eternal life that we have. The second promise that we looked at was in 2:11, the message to Smyrna, the overcomers in Smyrna. He promises eternal security. In verse 11, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." So what he's saying there is this, that you and I that know Christ as Savior, we never have to worry about the second death. We will never be eternally separated from God. We'll never be separated from God. In John 11, I love these verses, 25 and 26. You remember whenever Lazarus died and Jesus showed up and they thought he was late, but he wasn't late. He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Verse 25 says, "Jesus said unto her," he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now listen to this. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the promise of a resurrection. Okay, but listen to verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What's he saying? He says this, that if we believe in him and we die, yet we'll live, so we'll be resurrected. But he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What's he talking about? That's a reference to the fact that you will never die spiritually. That's eternal security. That's exactly what that is. We have the assurance that we will never die. We will never, the word death means separation. We will never be separated from our Lord. Never, ever. That's why it says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Never can you lose your salvation. Never. Impossible. Absolutely impossible to lose your salvation. Because we are secure in Christ. In Christ. We are accepted in Christ. We are in him. That's our position. That's our standing. And there's nothing. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, there's nothing that can separate us from Jesus Christ. Nothing. Because that would be spiritual death, and that's impossible for that to happen. It brings us to where we are today. The next promise is of spiritual sustenance. Watch 2:17. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. We'll just stop right there. There are two promises in this verse, but I want to focus on the first one. It's the hidden manna. Manna was the food which God gave to Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness for 40 years. Let me share some things about the manna if I could. Exodus 16:4 and then 14 through 21, listen to this. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. When the dew that lay was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So that was the manna. That was the manna that God gave to the nation of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness for those 40 years. Now, listen to what I'm going to read for you, because that manna was a picture of something, and this is all going to tie together. John 6:31-35, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God, now listen to this, is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In John 6:48-51, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead, and this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now listen to me. The manna in the wilderness was a type of Jesus Christ. It was a picture of him. Therefore, we can know for sure that the hidden manna is a reference to Jesus Christ. Let me read the verse again. 2:17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. So the hidden manna is a reference to Jesus Christ. But the question is this, why does he call it hidden manna? Why does he call it hidden manna? Let me give you something to think about. The hidden manna is a reference to our fellowship with Jesus Christ, which only believers can enjoy. This is spiritual food that is hidden from the unsaved world. This is food that the world knows nothing about, nothing at all. This is the spiritual food that sustains us as we walk through this world. So here's what he's promising. He's saying, look, you that know me as Savior, he said, I can assure you that in our fellowship, on our time of communion together, he said, I will give you that which sustains you. I will give you that spiritual food which will sustain you as you go through life. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Did you catch that? It is that hidden manna that the world knows nothing about. Here's the point of the promise to the overcomer. We have a privilege. We have the privilege of feeding upon Jesus Christ as we walk through this world. The world sits at a buffet of junk food, but you and I can feed upon Christ as we read his word. And it is there that we eat of hidden manna and are sustained for the battle which we face every day. That's the hidden manna. That manna provides so much for you and I. It provides peace in a world of division, in a world of turmoil, in a world of darkness. We have peace because we know which way this world's headed. We know that the things that we see today are all signs that point toward the kingdom of the Antichrist, the tribulation period. And we know that before the tribulation period begins, that there will be the rapture. And so we walk with our Lord and we have all this spiritual food, this hidden manna that sustains us, that gives us the stability in life, gives us the strength that we need in life. It gives us to us the discernment that we need in life. It gives to us the knowledge that we need, the wisdom that we need. That's the hidden manna. That's something that the world doesn't know anything about. They don't understand it. They don't get it. They don't know because they don't know Christ. They don't enjoy the hidden manna. To you and I, it is a promise that we will have the hidden manna. Let me get you one more thought here. Exodus 16:4, then verse 21. Listen to this. Then saith the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. I emphasize every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And they gathered it every morning. Catch that? Every morning. Every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. Listen to this. The manna was to be gathered every day, just as we are to feed upon the word of God every single day. You cannot gorge yourself on the word and expect it to sustain you for a month. You must feed upon his word every single day. It's one of the pictures in that. There is hidden manna. There is a daily provision. Give us this day our daily bread, our daily manna. There is a daily provision. We need it every single day. We need that to sustain us, especially in the day and age in which we live in. We live in a nation where evil is rampant. We live in a nation where we are one, I'll say this, we're one election away from the evil that is behind the dam bursting forth into our society. We're one election away from that. To where you and I would be suppressed. We need that hidden manna. We need that in our lives. Jesus says, to you that are an overcomer, I promise to you that I will give you to eat of the hidden manna, that which will sustain you as you go through life. So we have personal, we have spiritual sustenance, but that's not all. We have royal privileges. Watch verse 17 again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now what's he talking about? We're going to get a white stone. And in the stone a new name written, and no man knows it, only he that receives it. Listen to the words of one Bible teacher, if I could, on this. And I quote, in the ancient world, the use of a white stone had many associations. The white stone could be a ticket to a banquet, a sign of friendship, evidence of having been counted, or as a sign of acquittal in a court of law. Jesus may have had any one of these meanings in mind, but at the very least, we know it has the assurance of blessing. Some compare this to conquerors in the public games, who were not only conducted with great pomp into the city to which they belonged, but had a white stone given to them with their name inscribed on it. This stone entitled them during their whole life to be maintained at the public expense. There were several kinds of privileges which came with certain stones. Clark gives examples of the different kinds. One was equal to our card of invitation. It was similar to a ticket of admission in a public feast or banquet. When the person invited produced a white stone, he was admitted. But there was another, which was the most remarkable of these white stones. These were given as badges of friendship and alliance, and on which something was engraved as a testimony that a contract of friendship had been made between the parties, unquote. What a beautiful thought. The idea is that the victor in the games was treated with royal privileges. That's the idea. In the same way, we who are believers, we have royal privileges. This is what I would call kingdom privileges. But what are some of the kingdom privileges? We're overcomers, we know that. We are victors, we know that, because we are in Christ. But what are some of the privileges that come our way? Number one, this one is just astounding. We have a personal relationship with the future king. We have a personal relationship with the future king. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus is not ashamed of us. We have a personal relationship with the future king. Romans 8:35-39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake We are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me. We have a personal relationship with the future king, a relationship that cannot be severed. Cannot be severed. We are eternally joined to him. We are in Christ. We are in him. That's our position. That's our standing. That we have been, the moment that you trusted in Christ, you have been baptized into the body of Christ. I'm not talking about water baptism. I'm talking about spiritual baptism. You have been placed into the body of Jesus Christ. We have a personal relationship with the King of the future kingdom that's coming. Think about this. The one that we know will rule over the world. You know, it's one thing to say, well, I know this politician, or I know this one, or I'm a fan, or I'm an acquaintance of the president, or I'm a friend of the president, or whatever it might be. That might be marvelous, but I'm going to tell you something. It can't compare with saying this, that I know the creator of the world. And I have a personal relationship with him, and I have a personal relationship with him knowing that there's coming a day when he will rule this world in that thousand-year kingdom that he has promised. One of the privileges is we know the king. Another privilege is this, another royal privilege. We're provided all we need for this life. Remember, the winner of the games got that white stone, and that meant that the city provided for him for the rest of his life. Matthew 6:31-33. Listen, you think that's something? Listen to this. Therefore, Jesus said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have everything that we need for this life. We are assured. You know what? Let me explain verse 33 of Matthew 6. That whenever we seek God, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, did you know this? That it's God's responsibility to meet all of our needs. It's his responsibility. That's on him. It says, all these things shall be added unto you. Psalm 23:1-6, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're provided all that we need. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. It's amazing. As royal subjects, and that's what we are, because you got to understand that in the book of Romans, we are told, Romans chapter 8, that we have received the spirit of adoption. That the word adoption means son placed. In other words, we have been born again whenever we trusted in Christ, and then we are placed as mature sons into the family of God. We are royalty. We are royalty. And just like back in the Old Testament, just like little Mephibosheth, Whenever David sought him out and brought him into his family, he sat at the king's table and he ate. He had a place at the king's table. That's us. We have a place at the king's table. We're royalty. We know the king. We have a relationship with the future king. We have a relationship with him now, but there's coming a day whenever he's going to have a kingdom on this earth where he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. We have a relationship with him. And not only that, we have everything that we need provided for us in this life. Let me get you to a third privilege. We have access to the royal throne at all times. We can come right into the presence of our God anytime. Hebrews 14:14-16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, listen to this, in time of need. Anytime you need it, you can come into the presence of God. That's the promise. Those are the privileges, just three of the royal privileges. That we know the future king. We have a relationship with the future king. That we are promised that everything that we need for this life. David said, I've never seen God's seed begging bread. God promises to provide everything we need. We have access to the royal throne. Never, listen, we can get there anytime, no matter where we're at, we can come into the presence of God. We can come in there and whenever we need mercy and whenever we need grace to help in time of need, we got it. We got it. Something weighing heavy on your heart, boy, you can come right to the Father. You can say, Father, here, listen, look at his situation, and just pour out your heart to him. So let me get you down to a conclusion. As overcomers, we have eternal life. As overcomers, we have eternal security. As overcomers, we have eternal sustenance. As overcomers, we have eternal royal privileges. It doesn't get any better than that. I'm out of time, and I want to thank you for joining us today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, I'll remind you, if you would ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on the Joy of Discovery, all you need to do is write to us. Include the date of the program you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, we see you in church. Might you have a blessed week.